I'm Danny Brown, and you're listening to Life Through a Dram.
Welcome to Life Through a Dram, where Danny Brown shares his take on life, being a better person, and appreciating the here and now, all accompanied by a dram and a fine single malt whiskey. And now, here's your host, Danny Brown.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Life Through a Dram. This week, it's a little bit different. I'm not schlangevaren. I'm not taking a tipple of a dram. Instead, my wife is kind of taking over the show. She's doing a blogging course, and part of that is recording a podcast. So she asked me if she could record me or interview me for her podcast. And so this is what we're doing. So over to Jacqueline, my wife. Cheers.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline Brown, and I run a website called Mental Health and Me, and this is the first recording podcast for that. Today, I am speaking to my husband, Danny, and we're going to speak about his anxiety and depression because it's all relatively new to him. So, hi, Danny.
Hi, Jacqueline.
This is definitely weird, but we got this. So recently you were diagnosed with both anxiety and depression. Can you tell me a little bit about that, about the backstory and everything leading up to that?
Yeah, so I think for the last 3-4 months, I've been feeling different, you know, not in good places and just like, stressed out more and tired more and maybe quick to snap more and stuff like that. Didn't really put it down to anything. I just thought it was, you know, either working a little bit late or whatever. And then it was just like one morning that, it just clicked. You know, I was going to work and I couldn't really take another step forward as maybe going to the train station to catch my train. Got off the bus, took a few steps. I thought, nope, I'm not good to go to work. Because I hadn't been sleeping really well. I'd been waking up at like 2:30 in the morning and not being able to get back to sleep. So the fact that I was running on 2-3 hours sleep each night, 2-3 hours sleep each night wasn't helping either.
So that, I guess that was your breaking point in the symptoms leading up to reaching out for help. But what made you just decided not to go to work because you mentally weren't ready for that? Were you just going to come home and sleep or work from home? Like, what was your intention when you turned back from the train station that day?
I don't know. I think it was about everything. I know I texted you and said I wasn't in a good place. You know, I probably need to speak to someone, like, quickly or whatever. And because of your own, you know, background and experiences, I knew that, you know, when you said, okay, we're going to do this, that probably made sense. I mean, I was beat, so I did want to sleep. And I was even more beat when we came home from the hospital, you know. But, yeah, it was, you know, the goal was to get help.
So that day I took you to the hospital and I didn't just take you to the doctors. I took you to, the dog wants in on this podcast. So I took you to the hospital and I remember you saying like, why are we going to the hospital? Why can't we just call the family doctor? Why can't I just make an appointment? And I wonder if I had done that, what are your feelings towards the fact that I made you go to the hospital?
Well, like you say, I mean, at first I didn't think it was necessary because it didn't feel like an emergency. It just felt, you know, okay, I need to speak to someone about feeling better or not being tired or whatever. And, you know, for me, emergency, like the ER, etc., are for people that, say, get gunshot wounds or break a leg or, you know, have serious issues, having a heart attack, stuff like that. So to me, it felt like I should speak to my doctor, maybe get referred to someone that could help. But thankfully it was the ER because, I mean, I know it's one of the best. It's always recommended, you know, by a lot of people we know mutually. It's recommended as having a great mental health team and resources. And I found that since being there, you know, so that was definitely a good call, even though I didn't think at the time ER is something, you know, for.
Yeah. And I know I felt that way. You know, many years ago, that it's for physical health, it's not for mental health, and you never really think that your mental state is as bad needing to go to the emergency. You think that you can plow through it, or I'll make an appointment in the future and we can talk about it, I guess, if it's getting to that state, but you never really think that the ER is the way to go. And I did it wrong, because when it was, you know, my story, I was the one that made an appointment and you had to take me to that appointment, but I didn't want you to suffer anymore. So that it was just for me, I knew the hospital was the right way to go. And then you've been a few times since back and mm-hmm. forth to the doctor. How has your life changed since going to the hospital that first day?
It's been mixed. I mean, they've got me on a bunch of medication at the moment, so that's been new. And the first batch of medication, I think he overdosed me a bit too much, and I know, but, I mean, this doctor's amazing. I know he came out to you in the waiting room and asked, you know, if you'd seen any changes, and you'd said, yeah, he's more tired, and he went, yeah, it's my bad.
Yeah, my bad.
So he sent me on a course, but he sent me on clonazepam to start with, which is obviously an anti-anxiety medication. And the dosage was a bit high, but you had to bring my anxiety. My levels were way high when you took me in. Mm-hmm. And he could see that. And so he had to bring me down first to try to get me to a normalized level of anxiety. And he's just put me on a new course, which is more about like panic attack or panic disorder medication. Once again, more to manage my anxiety. And then we can start talking about the depression and, you know, what caused that, what was the trigger, etc. Mm-hmm. But really to try to get me to a stable place. And then obviously he's put me on sleeping pills because I wasn't sleeping. And they're helping me sleep right through the night. So initially I was super tired and foggy and forgetful. I think I'm improving there, though I'm still forgetting some things. But not as bad as, you know, as bad as it was.
That's good. Then you see some progress, but it's not an immediate fix. So, and I think you're starting to see that too.
Yeah.
Do you think these therapy sessions and medications are a quick fix to cure these illnesses, which we just talked about?
Yeah. No. I mean, I've only been gone, I don't know, 3 weeks, I think, 4 weeks, something like that, since first getting diagnosed. And I've known friends, you know, like your own story. You know, mm-hmm. I know that it takes a while. And sometimes, you know, you don't get rid of depression or you don't get rid of anxiety. You live with it, or you learn to live with it. And that's what, you know, the specialists have said. It's like a slow process. Don't expect results right away. Even the Meduron will take 3-4 weeks to really kick in properly. Mm-hmm. So I know it's an ongoing process, and I've got to be open and honest about how I'm feeling on various days or whatever. Otherwise, it won't, you know, help. I'll just go up, you know, back, or I won't get the treatment I need, so I'll be back to square one, which seems a waste of time.
Yes, absolutely. You have to be consistent. It's just like, it's dieting, really. It's for your physical health. You can't expect to eat one healthy meal and lose all the weight and be in shape and it'll just stay that way. It is an ongoing program, and you have to fight for it. You have to be determined, and your mental health is the same. I would like to correct something you said, because you said you've gone to 3 or 4 weeks of sessions, and you have, but each session is about 3 to 4 weeks apart. So,
yeah.
So I thought I'd specify that. So just, you know, wrapping it up, what advice would you give to those suffering from any of the symptoms that you talked about earlier?
I mentioned earlier, go to the ER.
Yeah.
You know, don't be afraid to go to the ER and check yourself in. And especially, you know, use Google on your phone or whatever. If they've got a mental health unit there, the more the better. But yeah, go to ER and just tell someone, I'm concerned about my mental health. I need help. Or, you know, again, use Google for local resources. There's a lot of groups, you know, local groups, etc. But I guess the key thing is, don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help. I'm lucky I have my wife, who, I say lucky, it's not lucky that she suffers depression and anxiety, but I'm lucky that I have my wife who knows what it's like and what the symptoms are and when the signs are there that you need help, etc. There's a lot of stigma still, unfortunately, about mental illness. And I think as long as we keep talking about it and being open about it and being honest and brave enough, or whatever you want to call it, to get the help you need, then it's far, far better than just struggling along thinking it's going to disappear.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great advice. And you say you're lucky to have me, but I feel the same way. A few years ago when I was at my weakest or you know, my lowest point with the combination of depression and anxiety, and I couldn't handle it anymore. I couldn't handle my day-to-day. I knew that I needed to see a doctor and I couldn't get there. And it was the same thing. I said, Danny, it's time. I'm ready. I need help. but you have to take me because I can just admit that I need help, but I can't get there on my own. And you were there for me. You got me to the doctors and you held my hand the whole time. And sometimes we need a person, whether it's a spouse or a sibling or a parent, just call that one person that you trust, and they will be your support system, and they will get you through the hospital visits and the doctor's appointments, because you do need a friend and you can't do it alone. So those are my advice. And Danny, it was great talking to you, and I hope, and the dog too, who's growling in the background. I'd like to do this again if I'm brave enough. But thank you for joining us, I guess.
This has been Life Through a Dram. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.